Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Okay, great. You're all finished? Who's still busy? Lots of people. I'm finished. Okay, there are three people sharing testimony tonight. So, Odwa, will you come? He is in our married zone. He's going to share a bit of his life story with us.
Hello. All right. I'm standing here as Odwa, but I'm also standing here as a lot of me. You might have seen me a few years ago, or maybe yesterday, or maybe tonight. Break into your car window to get your bag out. You might also have seen me break into your house or snatch your bag somewhere. So I'm standing here as a lot of those guys. What makes me different from them today is that I found Christ. And I'm here today to say, I'm sorry. I've done a lot of horrible things in my life. And I know God has forgave me with that. But I'm here to say to you guys, I'm sorry for what I've done yesterday to you. For the damage that I've done to your family. Even the scars that you carry today, they might have been caused by me. I am sorry. Do you forgive me? Okay, a little background of my life. I found Christ, which is wonderful. But I grew up with my grandmother in the Eastern Cape. So it's wonderful to have a grandmother. But I did not end up there because I wanted to. I lost my mother when I was 6 years old. In fact, I've experienced it. I've seen her die. I've closed her eyes, and I took her false teeth out. I've seen my father die when I was 7 the following year. When I was 9, my grandmother died, and I was shoved back to Cape Town. So the scars that caused me were not good. So I acted out at the age of 15. At 11, I ran away from my aunt's house. In fact, no one in my community knew that I was doing all of these things, coming into your house, stealing stuff. They knew that I was a nice boy who studied in Clutersville, which was awesome. But they didn't know all of this. But I've damaged a lot of people's lives. I remember one day we got a few cash from a backpack that was in someone's car, and it was a Friday night. We went back to Kayamandi with my friends. We partied. It was good. And we got drunk. So alcohol in Kayamandi is very available. The shebeens, they open from 6 to 6. And it's not safe. So I remember getting into a fight with a guy. And I stabbed him very badly. But I've never seen him before. And I've never seen him after that. That happened regularly in my life. Now, why I'm sharing this, the devil already had a plan for me. He already has done that, you know. So I was just going back and back and back into whatever the devil has planned for me to do. But when I got saved, a lot of things changed in me. The way I thought and the way I saw myself, it completely changed. But inside, sometimes it did not change because I can still see myself in the community. So today, I walk in Kayamandi as a missionary with my wife. She's at the back. So the struggles that I have today is I see myself all the time. I see myself every day. And that's why I'm saying I'm sorry, because I know some of you in this house, hall, have been experiencing the same person that I was 15 years ago. They keep on coming to your house. They do stuff. You know, they've wounded you. So I'm here to say I'm sorry on behalf of all of them. It's not them. The devil has planted a lot in them. He has finished with their lives. So I'm here to ask you and plead to you that you pray for them. Instead of feeling what you feel, the rave and hurt, just pray for them. Because I'm here myself because of those prayers. So I'm... Okay, CS is asking me to tell you guys how I got saved. So, so most of you are students here, right? So Kayamandi, it's a very small township. So some of you might have been in the township. So for me, probably at that age, 15, because I was still going to high school, and one day, my friends came over to my house because I was selling drugs, which is Dacha, and at that time was Mendrix in Kloetersville. So they came at home to my house, but my sister was not there. I was staying by myself. So my sister came the following day to stay with me. So the other night, they came to my house. So in my mind, I realized that this is not going to be okay because they'll come anytime during the night, and my sister might be there. She might get raped. So my thought process was, I need to get out of that. So what will I do if I don't sell drugs and if I don't do A, B, and C to survive? I had always had a skill. Well, it wasn't a skill at that time, but it was, you know, scribble. You know, when you as a boy, you like to draw. It wasn't nice drawings, but it made sense to me. It helped me when I drew. So I saw there's this place called a trust center in Kayamandi. I went there, sat on the stoop with a little paper which had lines on it, and I drew scribbles of whatever, and I attempted to sell those drawings to tourists. They would buy it out of pity. But one day, I remember this one day, there was a lady, her name is Hannah Morris, she's an illustrator, she's in the States now. She came, she was a tourist. She came and she saw me draw, and she said to me, "What are you drawing?" And I told her I'm drawing whatever I was drawing, and she said, "Okay, can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, cool." And she started showing me how to draw, and she told me that day, if I come here at this certain time, at this place, she'll always be there for me. And from that day, my life completely turned around. I got a lecture. She was a student here for drawing. And after that, we had an art class in Kayamandi. So just that one step she took me from there to an organization that I had nothing to do with, which was a Christian organization in Kayamandi. But one thing took me there, drawing. Everyone in that organization were Christian, but I wasn't. But drawing took me there. Now, for being in an organization with Christians, obviously you will hear about Jesus. So in that way, that's when I got saved. So also to encourage those who go to Kayamandi and those who have a skill whatsoever, give it, you know. It's a gift. It might take someone farther from where they were. So, today we have the same organization in Kayamandi. I still teach art, but in different forms, which is, it's most art therapy, you know. You get to get your emotions out and all of that in Kayamandi. And we also have leadership development that we're working with under Heads and Glasses in the organization. The organization is Kuyasa. But that's their program. So that's how I got saved, through a Christian organization, by a skill that someone gave me. Some might say it was an accident, but today I believe it was God who sent that lady there on that day.
Good evening, guys and girls. This morning I was talking to the older young people, and today I'm talking to the younger young people, if I look at all. So I hope you enjoy this. I've been asked to talk on two topics. The one involves myself and talks about the greatness of God and what He can do in our own lives. And I was in a different church. We moved here 2 years ago. And in the church where I was, it was a really lively and a really big church. But my kids came to Stellenbosch to study. But as many of, most of you, I guess, probably are doing at the moment. And my oldest daughter joined Shofar and still very much involved in the church now. But some 8 years ago, I think it was, no, it's less, 5 years ago, I got a problem. Something in my neck went wrong, and I couldn't much use my left arm, and it became a real pain. And I went through a very long range of medical practitioners trying to solve this problem for me. And probably about 4 months later, at the end of this, they came to the conclusion that the only way to resolve this problem is to cut open my neck from the front, flip it back, and do some work on the spine at the back of my head. Now, that scared, maybe the right word is the hell out of me. And I said to the doctors, please wait a while. I need to think and pray about this lot. And in that time, I was flying overseas. I flew a lot overseas at the time. And I was sitting on an aircraft coming back. And the lady ran with the trolley serving the food into my shoulder. And it was like really ugly. And that night on that plane, I sat and I went to sleep. And I was sort of made up my mind, I will go for this very dangerous operation and see what comes out. However, I woke up the next morning, which was funny, because normally I wake up in half an hour because of the pain and the hurt. But waking up the next morning, the pain was gone. Totally, utterly gone. I got home, I said to Karen, I don't know what happened. Because I was beyond praying by that time, so I didn't pray for the pain the night. I pray as normal, but I prayed for my wife and my children, but not for myself. And I said to her, I have no idea what happened, but somehow my arm is fine. So I'm going to give it time and see if it stays fine. About 2 weeks later, I called Liana in Cape Town for a sort of general Sunday evening chat. And just when before we rang off, she said to me, by the way, Pa, how's the arm? I said, no, arm is perfect. And I told her, and she said, what night was this? And it was a Saturday night. I forgot the date. I have it written down, but I can't remember it now. And she said to me, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, please do. She said, I was on an SOS course. Now, many of you know what an SOS course is. And she said, one of the pastors there stood up and he was saying he knows he has to pray tonight for somebody's family who has a problem with one of his limbs. And she didn't cotton it was her. And the third time he said it, she got up and said, yeah, my dad has a problem with his arm. And when we checked back, the time we prayed is about, or they prayed for me, far away, was the time I went to sleep and got up healed the next morning. So, quite an amazing introduction into Shofar for me. 2 years ago, Karen and I moved here, and we decided to make Shofar our home church, coming from Pretoria. And we decided as part of that, we will go through all the stuff that the church has to offer. Now, the Bible tells all of us, you know, salvation we get for free. But thereafter, we have some responsibility. We have to transform ourselves and become more and more like Jesus every day. And we have to work at that. And the one way to work is to get all the tools. So we went and we had done F1 and F2 way back when, just to check that the church Liana goes to is actually okay. but that wasn't about 2004-ish. And it was when Shofar just opened in Pretoria. Anyway, we went to Encounters 1 and Encounters 2 and Bible School 1, Bible School 2, and we decided we also need to do Legacy or F3. And I would just like to give you some feedback on Legacy. For Karen and myself, it meant something very special. It's a recap of your own history. And it in Hebrews 3:6, I think the Lord says he's building you as a house. You're becoming his temple. And F3 or Legacy is the one place where we get to work at cleaning out this temple. So we have a temple, we need to clean it, and Legacy is the one place you have it. Based on what we got there, we decided we will also facilitate some Legacy courses. And over the time, and we've done a number of them now, plus the one we've done, I've seen one African man, I think he was from Uganda. His father was the tribal chief, and his mother was a witch doctor of sorts. I forgot the right word for it. And he was into forefather prayers, into ancestor worship, into, let's call it black magic of whatever nature. And he actually repented of all of that during that Legacy course and got released from that. I saw on some of the other courses we had over time now, three guys your age, maybe a wee bit older, preparing to get married, that came to the course with their girlfriends. And I had three of those in my groups, and the girlfriends obviously were elsewhere. And all of them told us onto what it meant for them to go back into the history of their families and their own lives and clean that out before they got married and had children. And the final witness I can give from what we've seen is a young colored man from one of the local areas, Clutisville, I think. I'm not too sure because he never said which one. Who was totally into drugs, totally into gangsterism, the whole works. Somebody in the church picked him up, helped him to find a job, and he came to F3 or Legacy with a whole host of issues still around him. And he walked out of that very clean, I think, with three prayer partners in hand, and to a place where his prime motivation is to become a dad for the children in the township that doesn't have a dad. So, guys, this church offers you a lot in terms of equipping yourself. So go to Encounter 1, Encounter 2, Bible School 1, Bible School 2, 3, Legacy, F3, and whatever follows that. And I'll proclaim something of that in some future. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ashley Ballantyne. Sure. I am going to testify just of the goodness of God and his faithfulness and the way that he is so consistent in loving us despite where we're at and despite our response to him. In my grade 9 year, I was so bitter. I was so depressed. I couldn't stand people at all. I wore gray predominantly, and it was such an accurate reflection of the lifelessness that was inside of me. And I had like a space bubble that was like, if you are standing 2 meters, you are too close. And I just had no purpose for life. I couldn't see beyond like my everyday. And I was so angry at God. Because who God was to me was this question that was, but God, if you're so good, then why did you let all this bad stuff happen? And I knew the truth, and I knew who God was, and I knew that he was so good for other people, but not for me. Because when I was in grade 1, my mom was diagnosed with this illness called spasmodic dysphonia. And It's a form of Parkinson's and it takes your voice away completely. And then when I was in grade 6, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I just felt like, God, you're so faithful. And I honor my parents. They are honestly the most incredible parents because God was so real every moment of every way. And they honored him so, like, it was amazing. God was always in every situation. And I still couldn't see his goodness. And Jesus healed my mom, and she's speaking now, and she's healed of cancer, and she has a voice, even though the doctor said she would never speak again. And Jesus heals, guys. He heals. It's amazing. Amen. But for me, I couldn't see that because the question why was louder to me than the truth of who God was and the truth of his goodness in my life. And that was a decision I made. But God is so faithful and loving us still, even in our bitterness and even in our stubbornness, to let him be true in our life. Because I went on a camp in grade 9 and I encountered the love of God for myself like I'd never experienced before. And then after that, I went for a walk by myself on the farm. And that in itself was a miracle because I'd never done anything by myself because I was too fearful. And as I started walking, the Lord started to deliver me. He started to deliver me of depression. He taught me how to smile again. He gave me a love for people that is sometimes I'm just like, Jesus, I don't know how this is possible. This person is going to be overwhelmed by this love. God gave me a joy that is like, it's based on the joy of my salvation because it's based on who he is and not my circumstance. So I can wake up in the morning and it doesn't matter what anyone has said, what anyone has done. My God is faithful and my God is good and my God is true. And the joy of the Lord can be my strength for that day, regardless of anything anyone says. But the testimony wasn't the moment of being delivered. The testimony was the every day after that when God gave me the free choice to choose to actively participate in the freedom that he paid for on the cross. And so I want to encourage you guys, don't let the moment of deliverance become your God. Don't let the question of, but God, why did you let this happen, become who God is to you. God isn't a moment. He isn't an experience. God is God. And allow him to ring true for you because he's so faithful in meeting you and he loves you and he wants to meet you in your bitterness, in your stubbornness. He is faithful.
Okay, we've asked James to come and share with us just the principle of worship. You know, what is worship and why we're worshiping? Because that's why we're here tonight. Worship isn't songs. It's not like things or an experience. It's a surrender to God. But James, you know, I remember meeting James when he was still in Helderberg Courses. I think it was in his second year. And James is one of the most humble people that I ever know, you know, because I don't know if you realize it, but those songs that he sings, humility comes through when you don't recognize the person that is a worship leader. There are many worship leaders. You see the worship leader and the worship leader takes all the attention. But when you don't see the worship leader on stage leading, then you realize that that is a man of God. So we can listen to him tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. I already feel awkward not having a guitar in front of me, so thank you for making me feel even more awkward. Guys, I have the privilege. I'm just going to share for a few minutes about praise and worship. If you haven't realized, this is a testimony and worship service. And I don't know if you've noticed that the two so often go together. When we hear testimonies, what does it lead to? Leads to worship, leads to thanksgiving. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm just on the edge of my seat with every person who's speaking because it's the truth of who God is and what God is doing. I teach the first year Bible school module on praise and worship, and that takes 4 weeks, so I've got like 7 minutes tonight. So I encourage you, if you have not done Bible school, sign up in July. It will change your life. It changed my life. Hands up, whose lives were changed by Bible school? Really. We need to know why we do, specifically within worship, we need to know why we do these things. Why do we raise our hands? Why do we get crazy people who come and dance in the front here? Why do we clap? Why do we shout? Why do we even sing in the first place? It's so important that we don't do it just because it's tradition, just because we see other people doing it, and okay, that's what we do in church, we raise our hands. But to see, why does Scripture command us to do these things? What's the purpose? Okay, so do Bible school. That's my first point. When it comes to praise and worship, the basics of it is bringing glory to God. And I want to read you one of my favorite scriptures around this is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And one of the best sort of commentaries I've heard on this one verse, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. One of the best commentaries I've heard is A.W. Tozer. I just want to read you a quote. It'll be up on the screen. Paul's exhortation to do all to the glory of God is more than pious idealism. It's an integral part of the sacred revelation and is to be accepted as the very word of truth. It opens before us, listen here, it opens before us the possibility of making every act of our lives contribute to the glory of God. Lest we should be too timid to include everything, Paul mentions specifically eating and drinking. This humble privilege we share with the beasts that perished. If these lowly animal acts can be so performed as to honor God, it becomes difficult to conceive of one that cannot. What that's basically saying, there's nothing too big or too small that cannot bring glory to God in our lives. So, I mean, that's applicable of everything. It's of everything that we do. Every act of our lives, our work, our studies, our relationships, our friendships, you know, the sport that we do. Whatever we do, it can bring glory to God. And so that just, I mean, it just affirms again that worship is so much more than our singing. It's so much more than what happens here on a Sunday. It's everything. Every act of our lives can bring glory to God. But I just want to quickly touch on what is praise and worship and why do we worship, specifically around our words, the words that we speak. So now the definition of praise is to speak well of someone or something with exuberance, with excitement, with enthusiasm. Hey? To speak well of, and that's true of much more than just God. We can praise our favorite sports team. We can praise Donald Trump. We can praise, there's a believer there. We can praise people that we look up to. It's applicable in every area of our lives. But when we speak about the praise of God, it's to speak well of God for two things. Firstly, for who he is, his character, his attributes, you know, his love, his faithfulness, his kindness, his mercy. You heard about it in all the testimonies tonight. Just the character of God that came through. And secondly, for what he's done. Again, the testimonies. God has set people free. God has, I mean, think bigger than that. He's created us. He's given us this incredible world that we get to live in. He sent his son for us, the greatest gift. That's what that song was about. The greatest gift that we can have is the gift of Christ. And so we learn to praise God for who he is and what he's done. And then when it comes to worship, there's a different dynamic to worship. If you look at the words that are used in Scripture with regards to worship, it means to reverence. It means to make yourself low before somebody. The Greek word actually means to kiss towards. And so we see there's an intimacy involved with worship. If I can give the example, with praise, you can praise somebody who's not present with you, right? I can tell you about my wife. She's an amazing wife. She's an incredible mom. She's just the best amazing wife. Okay, you don't have to clap. That's weird. But she's amazing. What am I doing? I'm praising her character as a wife. But she's not here in the room. She's at home with our little daughter. So praise doesn't mean that she has to be here in front of me. But when it comes to worship, it'll be a bit strange to bow before somebody who's not in front of you. Or to kiss towards somebody who's not in front of you. There's an act of going deeper with worship where we actually see God and then we begin to respond to him. All right, so praise more about God. Worship is that act of adoration towards him. And now, just quickly, why does God command us to praise or to worship him? You know, do you think God needs it? if God is perfect and all sufficient, what can our little songs or our singing or our work or our studies or whatever we do as worship, what can that do to add to him? How can that improve his life? But the fact is, we need to worship. God created this desire within us because he knows that we need to worship. We've all been designed this way. It's part of our function. It's part of the fuel that burns within our lives, within our spirits, that keeps us going. Is we were all made to worship. And you'll agree that it's true that everybody worships something, hey? We worship God, or we worship our careers, or we worship money, or we worship relationships. Some people worship their kids. So many examples of things that we worship. But it's in that place of worshiping God and living a life that brings glory to him and worshiping him that we find true fulfillment. We were all created to worship somebody higher than ourselves, and the one who's most worthy of that worship is God himself. All right, I'm going to end off now, but I just want to share a very quick key with you with regards to worship. This is something God's been challenging me about, so I'm aimed to quickly share this scripture. In Genesis 4, verse 3 to 5, if you can put it up, it's a story of two brothers, Cain and Abel. And it speaks of them bringing an offering to God. And it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, meaning he accepted his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. So here we clearly see that God approves of meat and not of vegetables. No. Not true. But God led me to this scripture a few weeks ago, and it challenged me so much. Because it's not like Cain didn't bring an offering. It's not like he forgot to bring an offering. Or it's not like he brought an offering to the wrong God. He brought an offering to God, but his was not acceptable. So what was the difference? We find the answer in Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, you can put it up on the screen, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And this is the challenge I just want to leave you with, that God challenged me. I can bring my offering. I can bring my worship. I can sing my songs. I can do all this stuff. I can perform all these tricks. But if I don't bring it with faith, it's not acceptable to God. There's another very scary scripture, which I won't put on the screen because it's going to scare you too much, where Jesus refers to Isaiah 29, where it says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but they're far from me in their hearts. And he says, in vain do you worship. So how scary is that? We can actually worship in vain. But I'm going to bring you good news, all right? I don't want to leave you there. Because the reality is God is asking us when we worship, when we bring our worship, when we bring our offering, to bring it with faith. And it's not as difficult as you expect. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is our key. This is the key I want to leave you with. When we worship, when we draw near, we believe that God exists, that he's real, that he's here in this place. Do you agree that he's here in this place tonight? And that he rewards those who seek him. That he rewards us with himself, with his presence, and that he just wants to show us more of himself. And if we come with that expectation, that's why Jesus always loved to bring the kids near, because they came with that childlike expectation to meet with him. And in the same way, when we come to God, we come with that faith, we come with that childlike expectation to see him. Last slide. I just want to encourage you with this. Whether we're going to go into a time of worship now, but whether you're doing it here in church on a Sunday, or whether you're at home and you just want to spend some time with the Lord, I just want to encourage you. Spend, before you just kind of jump in and start singing and, you know, I love this song, this is my favorite song, this is my jam. Like, yeah, it's so easy to kind of get carried along with our emotions when it comes to songs and with singing. But I encourage you, before you do that, take time to consecrate the space. Take time to consecrate that time to say, God, this is your time. Whether you want me to sing or not, whether you want me to be silent, whatever you want to do, I give you this time. Take time to prepare our hearts. To say, God, my heart, I want it to be like good soil, that your seed can come and fall on good soil. Take time to quiet distractions. We are a distracted generation. We have got so much on our phones and on our TVs, on everywhere, that's wanting to steal from our attention. But I challenge you and encourage you, quiet those distractions. We need to become present in God's presence. We need to be able to, we need to be in the moment. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us in worship. Can I just make this clear as a worship leader? It's not the band or the worship leader that leads worship on a Sunday. It's not the CD that you play in your room that leads the worship. It's the Holy Spirit that leads worship. It's the Holy Spirit who unveils us to be able to see God. So I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want to worship. I want to see God. Open my eyes to see Him. Lead me as I worship. And then when you start with thanksgiving. That's what we did tonight. We took a moment to give thanks for what God has done. Psalm 100 says that we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. All right. I hope that helped you. Amen.
Okay, we're gonna do just that. And some of you that were here last weekend, the testimony when we were in Potchefstroom was of a lady right at the end. And she had a stroke. The lady was probably about 60 years old. And Angus said at the beginning of the service, he said he's not going to pray for anybody for healing specifically, because if they see Jesus, they'll be healed. And I remember at the end of the service with all the students sitting there and just looking up, and I just saw this lady just standing up from the wheelchair without anybody praying for her. And she just came up, she walked up, they brought her onto the stage, and she was just standing there. She couldn't lift her hands because of the stroke, especially the left side, and she just lifted up her hand. She was walking like this. And she wept intensely. Because you know what she said? The physical healing wasn't the greatest healing when she saw Jesus. We only heard that later. Jesus healed her from the shame of not being able to speak properly. After she had the stroke, she was just completely paralyzed in the one side. And she said when she saw Jesus, He took away the shame, and then she could stand up from the wheelchair. Because He healed something much deeper inside of her. And so when we see Christ, when our hearts are towards Him, and we say, Lord, there's really no one else. You are worthy. It means we place worth on Him by our worship, by our lives opening up. Do you know there's no one else? Richard said it this morning. There's no one else worthy to open up the scroll of life. In the heavens, you must go and read it in Revelation 5. Where there's a panic, there's a bit of fear when John stands there and he says, who can open up the scroll? And John begins to weep bitterly because he says, no one. And then one of the elders stands up and says, there is one worthy. The Lamb of God. I don't know about you, but that day when we're going to stand before Him, there's only one that is going to get all the attention. There's only one whose eyes, I hope your eyes are going to be on. It's like a bride walking down the aisle and she only has eyes for the bridegroom. It's that moment when you come. And even through your biggest pain, because there's some of us that has got great pain here tonight. Some of us that have got unanswered prayers. Sometimes our discouragement. And there's a lady whose daughter is sick in the Bible, and she comes and Jesus says to her, hey, I'm only going to heal those in Israel, only the Jews. And then she says, but hey, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And the Bible says she worshiped God by crying out, Lord, help me. That was worship. In her deepest pain, in her deepest agony, in her deepest fear, God takes your cry to Him as worship. Why? Because there's the surrender. So won't you stand tonight as we're gonna just for a moment consecrate ourselves to Him before we're gonna sing songs, because it's not about the songs. And if you need to move out, and just find some space. There's some people, like James said, that you need to come and reverence God, because you are not reverencing Him with your life. You need to come and bow and reverence and give yourself to Him. Reverence is to come low and bow before, to come and place worth on the only one who is worthy to receive power and glory and strength and dominion forever and ever. We're going to sing holy, holy, holy. The angels respond to it day and night. They never get tired because of what they see. They constantly before the throne room of God say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is and who is to come. They're singing it for thousands and thousands of years, and they don't get tired because of what they see. It's a response of worth. So as we're going to start to worship tonight, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, tonight you need to come and bow down before Him. Maybe Jesus is just another option in your life. Then tonight you need to say, God, no other gods. I've been worshiping myself. I've been worshiping my circumstances. I've been worshiping my past through the fears. But if Jesus is not Lord of your life, He is inviting you and says, I want to give you life. If that's you tonight, I want you to step out from where you are and right come and bow here in front. Maybe you're just a 20% Christian. You just give Him 20% of your life. Just when you need Him. Then you also need to come and make Him Lord. It means master, owner, possessor of this life. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to, as we're going to start to worship, just come out right to the front here. Just come and surrender to Christ. Then there's some others of us tonight here. We need to bring our pain to God. We need to bring our discouragement, those prayers that hasn't been answered. Because that really is true worship. When we worship Him from a place where we don't understand, but we trust. We see that with Jesus on the cross. Father, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Father, forgive them. There's some of us that are carrying so much hurt, but we are masters at keeping God from at a distance. We are masters at manipulating. We are masters at our fears. And if that's you tonight, I want you to step out from where you are and just come and kneel here in front. My right hand side, on your left hand side. Just say to God, God, I need some healing. But don't come with your need. Come to worship Him. Don't come because you have a need. Come because you want to give Him yourself and just surrender. God is speaking to you tonight. I want you to come. If you need to make Him Lord of your life, maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you just pray when you're ready. When you're ready coming to a place of saying, Lord, just when I need you on a Sunday when I feel bad after what I've done Saturday night. And sir, you need to come. Because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Either willingly or unwillingly. Everybody that has lived will say, Jesus, you are Lord. Your choice tonight is to say tonight, Jesus, tonight, you are owner. You are master. You're the possessor of my life. So Lord, come and heal us tonight as we worship you. We don't come because we need salvation. We don't come because we need healing. We come because we are here to worship you. And Lord, there's some of us like Lazarus. There's so many wounds around us, so many, Lord, just wrappings around us. Lord, the tombstone has been rolled in front of, Lord. There's a spirit of death over some of us, Lord. And tonight you're calling forth the Lazaruses. Lord, even it feels like there's no resurrection life, there's no ability, there's no way. But tonight we call that Lazarus to come forth. Because Christ, when you are here, we are not afraid. So I want you to prepare your heart. We're going to start to worship the Lord. So just where you are, close your eyes. Just say, Lord, I am here for you tonight. I'm here not to receive, but to give. Take my life, take my words. Won't you just spend a moment just with him as you're standing, as you're sitting? If you want to sing a song, you just sing a song where you're standing. But talk to God right now. He's not distant, he's right here. Some facilitators here with some of the people in front. We can pray with them quickly. Lord, tonight we humble ourselves before you and we bow our knees. I'm going to invite you just to do that. If you can do that right where you're standing, or just bow before him as we just prepare our hearts to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you remove all death. In you there is only life. Lord, tonight we come to you by the blood of Jesus. Father, we come to you boldly by the blood of Jesus, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, the Lamb of God that was slain.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.